Turn with me to Psalm 115 for our scripture reading this morning. I'm going to read three verses of scripture. And then John Davis is going to come and do a special for us. And then our dear, dear brother Marvin Stoniker is going to come preach for us. Three verses here. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathens then say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. When I say it is a joy, a great, great privilege to be asked to be here. I love your pastor. Donnie's been my friend a long time. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. I'd like to read one verse. Verse 1. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. This morning, Joyce Hardman, we were at their house last night. Joyce asked me, she said, what are you going to preach on? And I told her, the hazards, the deceitfulness of drinking. And she said, you are not. Yeah, I am. You know, the Proverbs are so practical. And they're written by the grace of God in such a way as the Holy Spirit moved upon Solomon to write. That man by nature reads these Proverbs and says, I understand that. I know exactly what that means. The disciples asked the Lord one day, because the Lord preached in parables. And they asked him, Matthew 13:10, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And this is what the Lord said. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it's not given. The parables are written in a way to where man by nature hears them and thinks that he understands exactly what they're saying. And humanly speaking, he does. They're practical. But you remember this, if we don't see the gospel of God's grace in that parable, then we've not seen it. We missed it. Now, I'm going to just tell you what the scripture says, and this is for your understanding. I'm going to tell you exactly what the natural man sees. This is what he sees. Wine is a mocker. What does that mean? It means he makes a mouth at, scoffs at him. You know, if you mock somebody, what you're doing is you're making fun of them. You're trying to ridicule them, make them look foolish. Wine, humanly speaking, deceives a man and promises him pleasure that it really can't give. It exposes him to reproach, disgrace, and mocks him. Makes a fool out of him. Strong drink, what Scripture says, is raging. It's loud and clamorous. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, let me just ask you something. Knowing what the Scripture has to say about the hazards of excessive drinking, consumption of alcohol, is there any rational person in this congregation this morning that's failing to believe that alcohol, excessive alcohol, is bad. Anybody not believe that? I think we'd all pretty well agree. Okay. We got that done. Now, I want to tell you for a few minutes from the Scriptures, proclaim unto you from the Scriptures, a wine, a drink, that is spoken of by God Almighty that is more dangerous, more deceptive, more mocking than any liquor that ever came out of a bottle. And if we see not the deception, the mocking of this wine, we're truly not wise. Hold your place right there and turn with me to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verses 1 to 5. Revelation 17. John, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, is on the Isle of Patmos. The Lord has moved upon him to write these things. Revelation 17, 1 to 5. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, comma, Babylon the Great, comma, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now I want you to notice the first word that was written on the forehead of this woman. What's the first name that was written on her forehead? Here's what it is. Mystery. But mystery concerning what? Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2 with me for a minute. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let me just read verses 1 to 10. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, this mystery. On the forehead of this woman, this great harlot of rebellion, was a word, mystery. That one that was full of abominations and had a cup in her hand, this wine of the wrath of her fornication. Mystery. That mystery that is truly mysterious to the world. What is it? The mystery of iniquity. You've heard that term, the mystery of iniquity. the secret or the thing concealed of depravity. Something is deceiving. Something is fooling people. Something is mocking people. That wine of fornication that has made the kings of this earth spiritually drunk. This wine of deception that mocks a man, telling him that he can please God by his self-righteous works. Now here in 2 Thessalonians, it's spoken of. This deception, this wine of deception. It's spoken of, this mystery of iniquity, of having a personality. Look in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. That son of perdition, spoken of as being, having a personality. It acts, and its deeds are revealed to be that which stands against and exalts itself above all that is holy and just and good. Look at verse 4. It says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But the key to understand what this mystery of iniquity is, the key to understanding what is the mystery. What is that mystery? That wine of deception. What is it? Where does it come from? Look at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. It comes from Satan. With all power and signs and lying wonders. And to those that follow after this great mystery that's drunk. Spiritually drunk, that's mocked by this wine of deception. What's going to happen to them? Verses 11 and 12 says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The Lord's going to consume them. That's what verse 8 says. The Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy all the brightness of his coming. Now knowing, I've read a verse of scripture in Proverbs. This is what it says. Wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink, raging. He that is deceived thereby is not wise, thinks himself wise. This mystery of iniquity, this secret of depravity, that is hidden from the wise and prudent. It's revealed unto God's people. It's been revealed unto God's saints. But here's my question. What is it? What is this mystery that this world's religion is drunk on? What is this man of sin, this son of perdition? If it was one person, everybody's looking, here's a great deception. Everybody's looking for him. If it was one person, why would it not be Judas? The Lord referred to him, those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. If it's one person, I know who it is. He's already been here. But listen to what John says in 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. You can look at this in your Bible if you want to. I'll just read it to you. It's the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. It's got an S on the end of it. Whereby we know that it's the last time. So obviously from Scripture, somebody is duped. Somebody's looking for somebody to come. Somebody of this man of son of perdition. This great mystery. This mystery, this secret of depravity that mocks man, that mystery that is upon the forehead of the mother of harlots. What is the great mystery that has all this world's false religion drunk in a stupor? blindness, laughing at them. What is the mystery of iniquity? Here it is. Here it is. That man has a free will. That man has a will that is free from God. That man can say, I make the final decision. That is the great mystery of iniquity. That men by nature in false religion is drunk on. And they believe it. And what is it doing? It's mocking them. It's mocking them. False religion says, you can have your sins washed away by water. Just get in water and you'll be clean before God. And it's laughing at them. The mystery of iniquity, that mystery that is hidden from the wise and prudent, is to tell them, you can, when Almighty God says you cannot. Duped. Where did this come from? Well, it says it's after the working of Satan with all power and signs. Listen to this. Isaiah 14:14-15. I will ascend into heaven. Isn't that what a man by nature thinks? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I had a woman. I was in Franklin. And a woman came in one day, and we got to talking. I'll just come right to the end of it. And she says to me, she said, I'm going to tell you something. What you're talking about, this sovereign grace, she said, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's got a free will. And she said, everybody, I said, let me ask you something, and I'll shut up. I said, when it comes down to the last final word in salvation, I'm talking about the last final word. Who's got the last word? Man or God? She said, man. And I said, well, unless the Lord delivers that thought from you, you're going to perish. That is the mystery of iniquity. I will ascend. It's after the workings of Satan with all power. I will exalt myself. I will sit on the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most God, the Most High God. I will. This great whore of false religion is the epitome of all prideful, worldly, false religions. It causes all nations to drink of the wrath. You know, we were all children of wrath, even as others. You know what that means? We were all haters of God, wrathful toward Him. And here's this wrathful drink, this wine that mocks and deceives the nations of this world and stands up in pride in their heart against God and says, I have the last word. Standing against that which is holy and just and good, the Scripture says, all of the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All of the nations have drunk. Hold your place right there. Turn to Revelation 12. Amazing passage of Scripture. When it says that all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Revelation 12, verses 13-17. And when the dragon, that is Satan, saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, the church, the bride. And the woman, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for a time and time and half time from the face of the serpent. God Almighty has declared His people are in this world. Not of it, but we're in it. And we're being kept by the power of God through faith, Frank. It's true. What's He doing? Well, this woman given two wings of a great eagle might fly into the wilderness, into her place. She's nourished for this time. And look at verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. What's he doing? What's Satan? Where is all this deception coming from? Well, it's after the workings of Satan. Where is all, why is there, you know, this denomination, this denomination, this denomination, this, and they all have their own little, you know, placard over their church. We believe this. You got to do this to be saved. You got to do this to be saved. But they all have to do this one thing in common. It's all that we have a will. It's all that it's up to us. It's all that, there's only two messages being preached. Free grace and free will. There's only two. And what's he doing? The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And back in that Revelation 18, where all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath, listen what happens. By the grace of God, the earth, all these nations that have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, the earth helped the woman. And the earth swallowed her, opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, I don't have to go very far. We drove this morning from Darren Joyce's over to here. I don't know how many churches. Man, there was a big one over there. There's a big one. Man, there's a lot of cars at place. Do you realize the grace of God, Donnie Bell, that God would allow them to do what they want to do, to drink up what's being preached for your sake, for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the sake of this congregation? All of this fill, the wine of this deception that says man has a free will. And the earth opened up her mouth and said, I'll have that. I'll have another slug of that. I like the taste of that. But, I got some good news. There's another drink. There's another drink. It's a precious drink. It's a drink of life for some thirsty sinners. It's a drink that God's people have been made by the grace of God to desire. Man, as he's born in Adam, has one thirst. I'll have the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's the drink I'll have. But if Almighty God gives a man a new heart, a new thirst, that can only be satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Revelation 21:6. He said unto me, it's done. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Oh, listen to what this drink says. It is done. Vessels of God's mercy are not left to themselves to desire the wine of deception, the wine of this world's false religion that says your works will satisfy God. Listen to what this drink says. It is finished. Done. God's people know that the whole of redemption, the accomplishment of the Lord Jesus Christ, His work finished at Calvary. All that the Lord has ever purposed for His people. This is what He said. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is what the drink of life proclaims. Done. It's over. Salvation is of the Lord. He purposed it. He accomplished it. He reveals it, applies it. All which the Lord God has made thirsty for righteousness, He's going to satisfy. The redeemed and regenerated saints thirst for God's pardon and righteousness in Christ. It's quenched. When I was in elementary school, I'm South Louisiana. And, to this day, I think of this one water fountain. When I was in elementary school, now sometimes you go to a water fountain and, And you might have a little old stream about like that. And you know the cup, the protector, and that little stream is right here. And you're trying to get your mouth down in there. You know, you don't want to touch this, you know. But this one water fountain, and it would be so hot. I don't know any of y'all from Louisiana, but listen, in July, August, oh, God, it'd be so hot. We'd be out in the playground and everything. Let's go out for recess. There was this one water fountain, and the water was just about like that. And it was just the largest, coldest water. And you could put your mouth on that, and you just got the biggest mouthful of water. And I could just drink. And I think about that water fountain, and it was worth waiting on. If somebody was there, you'd stand in line to get to that one. And to this day, I think about that water fountain. I'd get so thirsty, and I'm telling you, this water, the water of life Himself, God's people who are thirsty for communion with God and conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ, longing for a greater knowledge of Him, the Lord is going to satisfy that thirst. It is by the Lord God Himself, by His Spirit, that anybody would be thirsty. Anybody would desire to have that thirst quenched. The wine of false religion, telling a man that his will and his freedom is that which stands between him and God, and he's the only one that can make up the difference, fill in the gap. That is mockery. Laughing at him. It appeals to his carnal heart. And it never will allow a sinner to rest. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Lord told the woman at Samaria, woman at the well, He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If the Lord has made you thirsty, thirsty for rest from your labor, trying to reconcile yourself back to God. If the Lord has made you thirsty for forgiveness with God, for true righteousness and acceptance with God in Christ, here's what the Lord said. On that last day, that great day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And listen to this. Drink. You know, I love when the Lord set forth in the Scriptures these precious commands to His people. Now listen to this command. Look and live. Listen to this one. O ye dry bones, hear. Hear. Listen to this one. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen to this one. Come, and I will in no wise cast you out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen to this precious drink of life. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Listen to this drink. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Doesn't that taste good? Listen to this. I laid down my life for the sheep. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, the blessing of being delivered from the mockery of the wine of this world's deception that laughs at a man and tells him that he can do something for God, and the refreshment of drinking of the water of life Himself, and to taste that truly He is good. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.